In 1971, Alice Waters opened Chez Panisse in Berkeley, California, at a time when most Americans ate frozen vegetables and mass-produced meals. Her revolutionary idea, serving simple food made from fresh, local ingredients, seemed almost radical. But what happened next was even more remarkable. Dozens of people who worked in her kitchen went on to win James Beard Awards, open acclaimed restaurants, and transform American cuisine. Waters hadn't just changed how Americans ate, she'd created an entire generation of culinary talent. This phenomenon extends far beyond restaurant kitchens. Some leaders possess an almost supernatural ability to spawn exceptional talent. They don't just build successful organizations, they fuel entire industries with stars who go on to lead, innovate, and inspire others. This is the superboss effect. Miles Davis, the jazz legend whose personal life was chaotic and tumultuous, developed stars like John Coltrane and Herbie Hancock. Michael Miles, CEO of Kraft Foods, lived a stable life with a 52-year marriage while producing executives who became CEOs at Nabisco, Campbell Soup, and Mattel. Despite their radical differences, both were talent factories. Superbosses fall into three distinct types. Iconoclasts, like Davis, focus obsessively on their craft, teaching organically through collaboration. Glorious bastards care only about winning. Larry Ellison used management by ridicule, yet his alumni's careers soared. Nurturers genuinely care about developing others through intense relationships and constant guidance. Despite different styles, all share core traits: visionary innovation, fierce competitiveness, and deep commitment to their work and people. In 1993, Melissa Kelly cooked a complete meal for Alice Waters at Chez Panisse, the ultimate audition. 6 transformative months there launched her career to 2 James Beard Awards. This reveals how superbosses think differently about talent. They seek unusual intelligence, creativity, and extreme flexibility, not merely talented people, but those who are startlingly smart and intuitively get it. Lauren Michaels advises, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Their recruitment strategies are equally unconventional. Waters hired a philosophy student with no culinary training. Ralph Lauren ignored portfolios. Gene Roberts used strategic silence during interviews. Bill Sanders took candidates on exhausting hikes to observe them under pressure. Once they identify potential stars, superbosses pursue relentlessly, calling at all hours, sending extravagant gifts, wooing reluctant spouses. Their supreme self-confidence means they feel unthreatened by exceptional intelligence or forceful personalities. Ralph Lauren's early teams would have given him their lives, according to Sal Cesarani. This devotion, people pushing to their limits while feeling deep loyalty, is common among superboss proteges. Superbosses drive people exceptionally hard while instilling unshakable confidence. Bill Sanders made real estate work the primary focus of employees' lives. Andy Samberg found movie work felt like a cakewalk after Saturday Night Live's intensity. These leaders don't want strong performance, they expect the impossible. Yet they model confidence that transfers to others. Lorne Michaels seemed to have no doubt that Saturday Night Live would be a television landmark. Bill Walsh's swagger infected his players. He made us believe just by being that way. Superbosses articulate compelling visions that ignite possibility. George Lucas changed the way movies were made and pioneered digital technology when everything was analog. Michael Rubin recalled, I heard him explain what the future could be like, and I was infected with that at age 22. They motivate not through money, but through recognition and purpose. Working for a superboss creates an upward spiral where employees become addicted to thriving in intense environments, their ambitions expanding exponentially. When George Lucas hired Ben Burtt for Star Wars, he demanded fresh, organic sounds over dated electronic effects. Lucas maintained clear authority, rejecting ideas freely while giving Burtt creative freedom, an uncompromising vision balanced with openness to change. This defines how superbosses foster innovation at every level. Alice Waters maintains an uncompromising vision of fresh, local food while encouraging collaborative decision-making, editing her team's work to create something really greater than the sum of its parts. Super bosses encourage risk-taking and rule-breaking. Bill Walsh completely reinvented his offensive strategy mid-season in 1970, creating the famous West Coast offense. They reframe failure as necessary for success. Norman Brinker openly acknowledged failures, putting his team at ease. Jade Shiat created environments with a sense of creativity and personal freedom. This relentless pursuit of improvement creates electrifying environments that protégés find both exhausting and exhilarating. Leonardo da Vinci learned through apprenticeship with Andrea del Verrocchio in 15th century Italy. Despite centuries of proven success, formal apprenticeships have largely disappeared. Superbosses revive this ancient wisdom through intense personal interactions. Michael Miles randomly selected employees for morning conversations and lunched with junior staff. These weren't casual chats, but intense discussions that could lead to promotions. Julian Robertson gave decisive instructions. Tommy Frist rolled up his sleeves. Norman Brinker bussed restaurant tables. Robert Noyce pioneered Silicon Valley's egalitarian style, eliminating executive suites at Intel. These interactions deliver multiple lessons simultaneously: technical nuances, organizational principles, and life lessons. Superbosses embody a fascinating contradiction: deeply involved in details while being exceptional delegators. This hands-on delegator approach works because intimate knowledge gives them confidence to delegate effectively. They maintain control by articulating clear visions before stepping back, intervening only when necessary. Superbosses compress years of growth into months through intense learning experiences. Even brief exposure proves transformative. Gail Ortiz worked at Chez Panisse for just 2 months, but learned principles that shaped her entire business approach. Oracle employees counted time in dog years. 1 year there equaled 7 elsewhere. This acceleration stems from extraordinary expertise combined with unusual accessibility. Superbosses teach through constant, immersive interaction rather than formal programs. Protégés absorb not just skills, but mindsets, learning to think like their mentors, spot hidden possibilities, and push accepted boundaries. Working for a superboss becomes a defining crucible that forges careers in remarkably short timeframes. When Joanne Weir left Chez Panisse, Alice Waters supported her career for decades, featuring her as guest chef, appearing on her TV show, writing cookbook endorsements. Superbosses view departures as natural outcomes of developing exceptional talent. Julian Robertson called letting talented people pursue their own interests probably the most successful thing we ever did. Some create new businesses for protégés. Robertson's Tiger Seeds managed independent funds using his capital. Lorne Michaels expanded SNL into movies and shows like Late Night, all helmed by SNL veterans. These networks are founded on deep emotional connections. Steve Alberti left Chiat/Day on terrible terms after 18 years, yet maintains a website honoring Jay Chiat, admitting, "Chiat had a bigger impact on my life than my own parents did." At a 2007 retreat, aging Robert Mondavi, wheelchair-bound and unable to speak, became the center of attention as executives spontaneously lined up to express gratitude, kneeling beside him with reverence. Mondavi hadn't just made wines, he had made people and careers. Your legacy isn't what you accomplish alone, but what others accomplish because of you.